Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Kuf Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In order to appreciate the Sugya that we will be studying today, it's important to have some background from Psukim in Sefer Vayikra. We will be focusing on the events of the first of Nisan, the day in which they set up the Mishkan in the Midbar after leaving Mitzrayim. The second year of the Jews' sojourn in the Midbar, in the desert, on the first of Nisan, they set up the Mishkan, and a number of events took place that day. First of all, a series of korbanos were offered. These are found in Vayikra Perek Tes, the first few psukim of that section. We will read those psukim. If you have a chumash, you can open it up to the beginning of Perek Tes, and we will look at psukim Aleph through Dalet. Vayi bayom hashmini korah Moshe l'Aaron ulevonav ulezikne Yisrael. Vayomer el Aaron kach lecho egel ben boker lechatos va'ayil lo'ilo tamimim va'akrev lefnei Hashem. So we see that Aaron is commanded to take a calf to be brought as a sin offering and a ram to be brought as an olah. Posegimel, ve'al b'nei Yisrael tadaber le'mor, k'hu sir izim l'chatos, v'egel v'cheves b'nei shana tamimim l'oila. The Jewish people were supposed to provide a goat as a sin offering, a calf and a sheep as ola offerings. Posseg dalet, v'shor v'ayel l'shlamim, an ox and a ram as a shlamim, l'zboch v'nei Hashem, u'mincha blulo b'shemen, and a meal offering mixed with oil, ki ayoyim Hashem niro aleichem. We've listed on the inside margin of our marked Gemaras the korbanos shemofim bevayikrotes. You can see in the upper inside margin the korbanos that appear in Vayikrotes, shikrivu biyoyim hakomas hamishkan, and we've noted posuk beis there was an egel lechatos and ayel le'ola, and posuk gimel a sirizim lechatos egel vecheves le'ola. Pasuk Dalet, Shor v'ayel shlamim and a mincha. We're also going to note that in Perek Yud, Pasuk Tezayin, there is a reference to more korbanos, Soyer Nachshon, the Soyer that was brought by the Nosi, the head of Shevet Yehuda. We call that the Soyer Nachshon. And a Soyer Rosh Chodesh. The Soir that was brought in honor of the fact that it was the beginning of a new month, the Soir for Rosh Chodesh. Rashi on the Chumash on Posuk Tezayin of Perek Yud says, and we'll read the Rashi, Sir HaChatos, let us actually read the Posuk before we read the Rashi. It says there, V'es Soir HaChatos Dorash Moshe V'nei Sorof. Moshe was seeking out whatever happened to the Soir HaChatos. He was, and behold, he sought it, and he found that it was burnt. And Moshe became enraged at the sons of Aaron, the surviving sons. Elozer and Tamar, those were the two brothers that survived after the death of their elder brothers, Nadav and Avihu. Rashi points out over there in Vayikra, Perek Yud Pasuk Tezayin, Soir Achatos, Soir Musvei Rosh Chodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu was seeking out whatever happened to the Soir of Rosh Chodesh. and behold, he found it to be burnt. And that enraged Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did you burn it and not eat it? This, of course, will be the subject of our Gemara. Rashi goes on to say, Ushloisha sire chatois korvu bayom. There were three goat sin offerings offered on that day, the first of Nisan, the day they set up the Mishkan. Sir Izim, Vesoyer Nachshon, Vesoyer Rosh Chodesh. We saw the Soyer Izim in Vayikra Perek Tes Posek Gimel. We see also the Soyer Nachshon and the Soyer Rosh Chodesh. Umikulam lo nisraf elozeh. The other korbanos were not burnt. Only this one was burnt. V'nechleku b'dover chachm Yisrael. And we will, Rashi points out, there's a machlokis amongst the sages of Israel. Yeshomer mipnei tuma shenaga boi nisraf. Some say that it was burnt because it had contact with a defiling factor. V'yeshomer mipnei aninus nisraf l'fishu kodshe doros. Another opinion is that it was burnt because the Kohanim, the only Kohanim at the time, they were all Oininim. You have Aaron and his two sons, Elozer and Isamar. They were Oininim because of the death of Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's two of Aaron's sons, and the brothers of Elozer and Isamar, the surviving other sons of Aaron. And as a result of their being Oininim, and there were no other Kohanim around, and Oninim cannot eat from the korban, therefore it was burnt. And that's because it was a korban that was called Kodshe Doros. The Soyer Rosh Chodesh is something that is offered every month for during every generation. Aval b'Kodshe Shoh, however, for special sacrifices that were characteristic only of that day, the one time in history sacrifices, Samhu Al Moshe Shomer Lahem Bamincha V'Yachluah Matzos. They relied on Moshe's teaching with regard to that mincha. We saw the mincha featured in Perek Tes, Posuk Dalid, and regarding that mincha, Moshe had commanded them to eat it, and that was a very unusual kind of mincha. In general, the tzibor, there is really no such thing as a communal mincha. In this case, there was a communal mincha, and as a result of that, it was and that communal mincha, which was really a one-time thing, Moshe Rabbeinu had commanded them to eat. So we know that from that, we know that things that are one-time in history situations, they are to be eaten, even if they happen to be oinonim. Before we delve into the Gemara, we would like to take note of a number of other psukim before we get into the Gemara itself. So we are going to turn our attention to Vayikra Perek Yud, and we're going to look at psukim Yud Beis through Pasuk Chof. Turning to the psukim that we've included, by the way, on the side of the Gemara, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayedaber Moshe el Aaron velozer vel Isomar bonov anosorim. Moshe turned to the surviving sons of Aaron, and he spoke to Aaron and his sons, Elozer and Itamar, the remaining sons, Kuh es hamincha hanoseres meishe Hashem v'ichlua matzus esal mizbeach. Take that mincha, the mincha that we already featured, we discussed it and mentioned it in Perek Tes, take that mincha and eat it Eitzel HaMizbech near the altar, Ki Kodesh Kodoshim Hi, because it has a Kodesh Kodoshim status, it's to be eaten in the Azora, in the temple, in the Mishkan courtyard. V'achaltem oiso b'mokom Kodesh, Ki Chokcho v'chok bonecho hi meishi Hashem, Ki Chein Tzuvesi. This expression, Ki Chein Tzuvesi, we will see featured in the Gemara. And Moshe is telling them, you shall eat this mincha, because thusly I was commanded. V'es chazeh ha'tenufas shok ha'truma, tochlu mokom tor, ato v'necho v'nesecho, v'itoch. And the chazeh ha'tenufa and shok ha'truma, these are different parts of the korban that were to be part of a waving, they are to be eaten in a pure location. This is what's given to the Kohanim from Korban Shlomim. This expression as well, Kasher Tzivo Hashem, we will see featured in the Gemara as well. So at this point, Moshe Rabbeinu is describing what's to be done with different kinds of sacrifices. The Esor Chatos Dorash Moshe Vinei Sorof, and the goat sin offering, Moshe Rabbeinu sought out, and behold, it was burnt. And Moshe Rabbeinu became enraged at the sons of Aaron, saying to them, "Madua lo achaltem es achatos mom hakodesh ki kodesh kashim hi? Why did you not eat this sin offering? This sin offering was given as a source of atonement for the community. Hein lo huvo es doma el hakodesh penima. Well, if this pasuk is a result of an inquiry that Moshe Rabbeinu that he did, he had asked them, did the blood of the sin offering enter the heichal, which would have rendered the sacrifice invalid? And they had told him, well, it didn't. And he also asked them whether the sacrifice had left the azorah, left the courtyard, which would have also rendered it invalid, and they said it did not leave the azorah either. So after the inquiry, Pasuk Yud Ches says, Hein lo huva es doma al kodesh pima. Well, if you're telling me the blood did not enter the inner sanctum, achol tochlu osa bakodesh kasher tzivesi. So you should have eaten from it in the mishkan, in the temple, as I commanded. Kasher tzivesi is another expression that we will see featured in the Gemara. Vayedaber Aaron Moshe. Aaron now interjects after Moshe expressed his rage at the sons of Aaron. The father comes in defense of the situation and says, "Hein hayom hikrivu eschatosam vesalosam lefnei Hashem." This pasuk will be the subject of interpretation in the Gemara, but we can say loosely, do you think that they who are Onanim, and they are not Kohen Godols, they are Kohen Hedyots, common Kohanim, do you think they offered it that would have rendered it invalid? They did not offer it. Vatikreno si koele, if such an event happened to me like this, namely the death of my sons, if I would have eaten from this, would that be pleasant in the eyes of God? Certainly not. And this will have to be explained at greater length in the Gemara, how Aaron is justifying his non-eating of the korban, and eventually an explanation of why in fact it was burnt. But he, in these psukim, he is offering an explanation, and we'll have to see what it is in the Gemara. But nevertheless, after Aaron spoke up, Vayishma Moshe Vayitav Be'inav, Moshe heard this and it was met with his approval. Now, after seeing all of the psukim and getting a little flavor of the events, we turn to the Gemara. On the second line from the top, we see a triangle with a colored in tip. We want to take note of some of the structural features of this sukya by noticing the Nosei Mivne heading on the outside margin, the topic and structural note that accompanies the sukyas as we go along in our marked Gemaras. These two triangles, you can see there are two of them at the upper part of the page, with colored in tips, represent Shnei Mekuros Soisrois, two seemingly contradictory sources, Binyan Korbonos Shehukru Vaninus B'yoyim HaKomas HaMishkan, regarding the sacrifices that were offered on the day of the setting up of the Mishkan, that were offered in a state of Aninus. They were offered while they were mourning, we'll say, for their dead relatives, the Nodav and Aviu, who just died. Ma dinam, what is the halacha with regard to these sacrifices? In the Gemara we'll see circled names, Shmuel and Rava, and we've also noted them as 1 and 2 in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim down your page, you'll see a 1 and 2. Shmuel and Rava represent Drochim Liashiv Mekoros Anal, approaches to resolve the two sources that seem to be contradictory. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. This is source. We're labeling Roman numeral number 1. The source cites several phrases from three different psukim. Kichein tsuvesi. This was in Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Gimel. Kasher tsuvesi. This was Pasuk Yud Ches. Kasher tsivo Hashem was Pasuk Tes Vov. Kichein tsuvesi. Thusly I was commanded. Ba'aninus yochluha. That even though they the Kohanim at the time, the only Kohanim at this time was Aaron and his two surviving sons, Elazar and Isamar. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I have thusly commanded you, Aninus Yochlua, to eat them in the state of Aninus that they were experiencing because of the death of Nadav and Avihu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was of the opinion that even though they are oinanim, they are to eat these sacrifices. Kasher tzivesi, bishas maisa. Bishas maisa, Rashi explains, on the fourth line from the top, kishira lohem aninusam omar lohem. When the aninus befell them, he told to them, shelo yimanu miachilas kotshim hayom. They should not restrain themselves from eating sacrifices that day. Sheshama mipi hagvura, he heard from the Almighty, Shecholuk aninus hayom bekotshim ishar yomim. The aninus of that day, the first of Nisan, was different than other days. Uksharosh nisrfa, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the soyir hachatos was burnt, Amar lahem, he said to them, Achol tochlu osa. That was in Pasuk Yudches, Hoyo Lochem Liochlo, Kasher Tzivesi Eschem, Bishas Maisa. You should have eaten it, thought Moshe Rabbeinu, and thusly he said to them, as I was commanded at that time. And the third phrase, Kasher Tzivu Hashem, Lo Me'elai Ani Omer. It's not something I'm saying on my own that you should eat it in a state of aninus. As we've learned already, at some length, the whole concept of eating sacrifices in a state of aninus is of course a major novelty, chidush, and we have to grapple with that as we go on in the Gemara. So at this point, the first source is telling us that they were expected to eat it in a state of aninus. Viramini. We should point out that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them they should have eaten it in a state of aninus, but apparently they burnt it because of their having been in a state of aninus. So according to the first source, the reason for the burning was aninus related. For Ramini, we have another source that says, Mipnei aninus Nisrafa, Lekach Ne'amar Ko'ele, that not that it should be eaten in a state of aninus, but rather, because of aninus it was burnt. So let's go over these two points again for the sake of accuracy. The first source says, Ba'aninus Yochlua. The second source, aninus, because of aninus Nisrafa. Omar Shmuel, Lo Kashya. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Nechemya. The two sources represent two different opinions of Tanoim. We have a little topic heading featured on the outside margin, the Nosei, Srefas Chatos Rosh Chodesh, Ba'oso Ma'amod. We're talking about the burning of the Rosh Chodesh sin offering that took place on that occasion, the occasion of on Aleph Nisan. Machlokas Tanoim Lama Surfua. We'll see a Tanaic controversy. Why was it burned? The Rabbi Nechemia Mipnei Aninus was burnt because of the Aninus consideration. There was no one to eat it. The Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon Mipnei Tuma. The only reason it was burnt because it became defiled. And that, according to them, Aninus would not have been a reason for their not eating it. Continuing in the Gemara, Desanya Mipnei Aninus Sorfua. Lekach ne'emar ko'ele divrei Rabbi Nechemia. This pasuk that's just referred to ko'ele was in pasuk Yud Tes, at the point that Aaron responded to Moshe. Let us glance at Rashi. Mipnei aninus nisrafa. Shelo hutro lohem aninus lebo bayom. There was no relaxation in the din of aninus that day. Rabbi Nechemia doesn't hold from the first drusha that we saw above in source number one, which says that they should have eaten it in a state of aninus. Elohochi ko'omar lehu. Rather, thusly said Moshe to them, Kichein tzuvesi. Thusly I was commanded, Shaf minchas tzibur zu necheles. We skipped the little bracketed section we included in the Rashi to aid in the reading. Moshe was saying, I was commanded that even this minchas tzibur, this public mincha offering, continue, going over the bracketed section in the Rashi, Shalom Motzinu Mincha Kreva Letzibor Kayotze Ba, we don't find any other example of a public meal offering, and this korban was necheles, was to be eaten. Ve'al ho'aninus lo huzkar lemoshe lidrosh kavachomer mimaiser. It didn't occur to Moshe Rabbeinu to darshan any kavachomer with regard to an aninus restriction from the case of Meiser Sheni, which is forbidden to an Onain. When Aaron mentioned the Kavachomer, which we haven't seen yet, when Aaron mentions the Kavachomer that's learned from Meiser Sheni to restrict an Onain, and hence certainly with regard to the sacrifices, then Moshe Rabbeinu Hodelo approved. So, according to Rabbi Nechemia, the posuk that says ki chen tzuvesi, Moshe Rabbeinu himself never said that, according to Rabbi Nechemia. But rather, ki chen tzuvesi, according to Rabbi Nechemia, is thusly I was commanded with regard to the mincha, which is which was an unusual korban, that it should be eaten. And just like that should be eaten, so too Moshe Rabbeinu was saying all of the korbanos, including the sarachatos, should have been eaten. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, the next opinion in this source say that nei tumo nisrafa, it was burnt because of it having become defiled. Sheima ta'omir bnei aninus nisrafa. If you'll say that the reason for the burning of the sacrifice was because of their having been in a state of aninus, like Rabbi Nechemia said, Hoyu lohem l'shloshtan shisrefua, all three se'irim should have been burnt. And as we said in our introduction, only the Soyer Rosh Chodesh was actually burnt. The Soyer Nachshon and the Soyer Chatos were... The Soyer Lachatos that was featured in Perek Tes, that was not burnt. Only the Soyer Rosh Chodesh was burnt. So if that be the case, so if you're going to explain that the burning was a result of their having been in a state of aninus, and not a particular simple defilement, why were all three not burnt? Dovar Achir. Another objection Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon have to Rabbi Nechemia is, Hoyu lohem lo ichlon lo erev. They could have... If aninus was the consideration, why did you have to burn it? They could have been eaten in the evening after, the night after the Aleph Nisan. Dovar Acher, Valo Pinchas Hoyimohen. Pinchas was a son, was the son of Elozar, who died. Pinchas's uncles died, Nodav Aviu. An uncle is not close enough a relative to cause
aninus. Hence, Pinchas was not an onain, and the assumption right now is Pinchas was a kohen. He could have eaten, so why was it burnt, if aninus is the explanation? Hence you have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon standing against Rabbi Nechemiah, claiming that the burning of the korban was not an aninus consideration, but rather it was because of a particular defilement that took place. Rava Omar, Idi Vidi Rabbi Nechemiah. Rava says that the two sources above, where we dashed underlined aninus yochlua and aninus nisrafa, are both authored by Rabbi Nechemiah. Lalokashia. Kan Bekotche Sha'a, Kan Bekotche Doros. Source 1 that says that even though they were oinanim, they were to eat of them, that's referring to the Kotchim, the sacrifices that were one time in history offerings. The second source that says something that because of aninus it was burnt, that's a reference to sacrifices that appear throughout the generations. And we mentioned before that that would be the case in the case of the Soyer Rosh Chodesh, that something offered every Rosh Chodesh. That's Lidoros. Hence, that is to be burnt. Something that's a one-time in history thing that we say, even though they were oinanim, they were expected to eat of it. At this point, we've seen now a machlokas tanoim, Rabbi Nechemiah versus Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who the Gemara refers to as the Rabbanan. The Gemara now wants to know, how do these two schools of Tanaic thought view the Psukim? How do they learn the Psukim that we read before as an introduction? Rabbi Nechemiah hechi mitartz lu lahani kroi, v'Rabbanan hechi mitartzi lehu lahani kroi. Before we go further in the Gemara, we can note a structural note. In the outside margin, the Mivneh, you'll see a bow tie form with a squiggle underline. These are Hezbeirom Shalapsukim Alibo de Rabbi Nechemiah v'Rabbi Yehuda. The explanation of the Psukim according to Rabbi Nechemiah on the one hand, and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon on the other hand. We will see the use of a trapezoid or volcano shape with the in the Gemara. You'll see they are She'eloisov Shel Moshe LaAaron. The questions that Moshe Rabbeinu poses to Aaron, K'levarer Loma Lo Ne'achal Korban, and he's attempting to find out why was that particular Soyer Chatos burnt and why was it not eaten. Turning to the Gemara, we also might note before actually reading the Gemara that these two sections are accompanied by long markings. You see in the to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara an abbreviated Rav Reish Nun Rabbi Nechemiah with a bow tie around it and a vertical dashed line extending downwards. Following that, if you skim down the page, you'll see another bow tie with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon featured, and an additional vertical dashed line, and this extends till the top, the second line from the top of Omid Beis, indicating that all of these lines of Gemara are dedicated to the Tanaic interpretation of the series of psukim that we've already referred to. Turning to the Gemara, Rabbi Nechemiah mitaretz lehuhachi. Rabbi Nechemiah explains the psukim as follows, bearing in mind that according to Rabbi Nechemiah, the korban that was burnt as a result of an aninus consideration. Madua, this is a reference to Pasuk Yud Zayin, Madua lo achaltem es hachatos. Omar lo, before we go further, just note once again that we've included these psukim on the side of the Gemara, on the inside margin, you can make easy reference as the Gemara goes on to the psukim that are referred to. So this is Pasuk Yud Zayin, where Moshe asks Aaron, Madua lo achaltem es hachatos? Omar lo Moshe l'Aaron. Moshe investigates. He asks Aaron, Shema nichnas doma lifnim. Maybe the blood of the sin offering entered the Heichal, which would have rendered the korban, the sin offering, invalid. Omaloi, so Aaron answers in Pasuk Yud Ches, Hein lo huva es doma. The blood did not enter the Heichal. While Moshe asks, Shema chutz lemechitzasa yatzas, maybe it left the Azara. Omaloi bakodesh hoisa. Aaron answers that it didn't leave the temple courtyard or the Mishkan courtyard. The Dilma Baninos Akriv Tuha Upasal Tuha. Maybe it was offered in a state of Aninus, and a Kohen in a state of Aninus, a Kohen Hedyot, a common Kohen who would offer a Korban in a state of Aninus, would render it invalid. Omar Loi, so Aaron says back, Moshe. He addresses his brother. He says, "V'chihem hikrivu? Do you think they, Elazar and Isamar, do you think they who are common kohanim offered it, thereby would have ruined it? No, ani hikrafti. I, who am a kohen gadol, offered it, and a kohen gadol is allowed to offer sacrifices while he is in a state of aninus." The Amale Moshe says back, "Hein lo huva es doma." Well, according to what you're telling me, and this is what's reflected in Pasuk Yud Ches, the blood was not brought in, Uba Kodesh Hoysa, and it remained in the holy area of the Mishkan, in the courtyard. Well, Achol Tochlu Osa, Kasher Tzivesi, Baninos Yochlua, then it certainly should have been eaten. These words you can see in the Pasuk Yud Ches. You should have certainly eaten it as I commanded that you should eat it in a state of aninus. Amaloi, Aaron responds in Pasuk Yutes, Vatikrena oisi koele. These terrible events took place, happened to me. If I were to eat it, would this have found favor in the eyes of God? Shema lo shamata ela bekodshe shah. Maybe what you heard about eating, even if it be in a state of aninus, that is true with regard to one time in history, korbanos like the korban mincha, the public meal offering. De bekodshe doros, if you want to feature sacrifices, generational sacrifices, there wouldn't be any allowance for eating. Kavachomer mimaiser hakal. And this we can conclude from a kavachomer logic regarding maiser sheni, which is less stringent than sacrifices, and yet this lesser item, maiser sheni, an onain is not allowed to partake of, certainly sacrifices, as we will see. Uma maiser hakal. Mind you, Meiser Sheni, this is a tithe that's taken off one-tenth of one's produce in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the seven-year agricultural cycle. The Meiser Sheni is, relatively speaking, a lenient form of holiness. And yet, Omro Torah, Loi Ochalti Ba'oini Mimenu, the owner has to declare that he did not eat of it while in a state of aninus. So we see Meiser, which is Kal, an Onain is not to partake of, but Kodshe Doros Lo Kol Shekain, generational sacrifices, which are more strict, more stringent, all the more so an Onain is not to partake. And the Korban, the Soyer Chatos that you saw burning, was the Soyer of Rosh Chodesh. That's a generational type sacrifice. And as a result of this Kal Vachomer, there's no way it could have been eaten. And therefore, it was burnt. Miyad Vayishma Moshe Vayita Beinov. Moshe heard this argument and it found approval with him. Hodevelo bosh Moshe loyma lo shamati. Moshe immediately conceded and was not embarrassed to say, "Well, I never heard that." Ela Omar, rather, he said, "Shamati v'shachachti," In fact, I did hear this distinction. I heard it from the Almighty, and I forgot. And you are, in fact, correct in having burnt it. So, up till this point, we've seen Rabbi Nechemya, who explained that, the Gemara explained that the source that indicated the Aninus Nisrafa, that was authored by Rabbi Nechemya. And we just saw how Rabbi Nechemya explained the Psukim, so that the burning of the Soyer Rosh Chodesh was a result of there having been Oininim. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Hechi Metartzi Lehu Lahani Kroi. How do Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon approach these Psukim? A number of the points that we'll see as the Gemara unfolds are the same as we saw above. Eventually we'll focus on their unique approach, namely that the burning was a result of defilement and not a function of there having been oininim. So how do they explain these psukim? Hochi metarzi lahu. Madua lo achatem esachatos. Moshe Rabbeinu was investigating why did they not eat the chatos. Shema nichnas doma lifnim. Amalo hein lo huva es doma. Aaron answered that it wasn't brought in. Shema chutzim chitzos yotzos. Maybe it left the temple courtyard. Amalo bakodesh hoisa. He answered, no, it didn't. V'dilmo ba'aninus akriv tuva basuta. Moshe asked, maybe it was offered in a state of aninus and that rendered it invalid. Amalo, Aaron answers, Moshe, hei nukrivua deposla ba'aninus aniagraftia. Do you think they offered it? My sons, Elazar and Isamar, who were kanim hedyotim, and that would in fact have rendered it invalid. Rather, no, I offered. I'm a kohen gadol, and a kohen gadol is expected to offer sacrifices in a state of aninus. Well, the Dilma Agav Mraichu Pashatu Bovivmi. This is a new question. Namely, we didn't see above, but Moshe Rabbeinu continues his investigation and says, maybe because of your emotional pain, you were negligent and allowed the sacrifice to become Tomei. And as a result of the Tuma that follows from your negligence, it had to be burnt. Omaloi. So Aaron answers, Moshe, kachani beinecho, am I thusly in your eyes, shani mevazikot shishamayim, that I am disrespectful and negligent with regard to sacrifices to the Almighty. Vatekreno si koile vafilu ele koile. This unfortunate event that took place, and even if a similar event, a similar misfortune would befall me, with all due respect to the suffering a person undergoes, I would not disparage Kodshi Shamayim. Amalo, so Moshe says, V'i hein lo huva es domo. If the blood didn't enter the inner sanctum, uva kodesh hayis, and it remained in the courtyard, echol tochluos of a kodesh kasher tzivesi baninus yochlua, then it should have been eaten as I commanded, that in a state of aninus you are to eat of it. According to this approach, and we saw this referred to before in the Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, received a specific command that it shall be eaten in a state of aninus. This is contrasted with the approach that Rabbi Nechemya took, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was commanded that the mincha should be eaten. Omar Loi, so Aaron says, Shema lo shamata ela balaylo. Maybe you heard about a heter achila only with regard to the night that follows, the night that follows the day of aninus. Di bayom, because if you're talking about the day itself and expecting me to have eaten it on the day itself, that I had experienced the aninus where my sons died, that's no way. Kavachomer mi meiser hakal. There's a kavachomer from meiser, which is less intense, less holy, and yet nevertheless an onain is not entitled to eat from it. Kodesh sacrifices, which are more severe, all the more so, an onain is not allowed to partake of them. Miyad, Shma Yishma Moshe Vayitav Be'enov. Moshe heard the argument of Aaron, the Kavachomer from Meiser. Lo boish Moshe lo malo shamati, elo shamati v'shochachti. Moshe was not embarrassed to admit that he forgot. Moshe was not embarrassed and would, through embarrassment, would say, well, I never heard that. But rather, he wasn't embarrassed. And he said, I heard it and forgot it. The obvious question, though, is now to be asked. If the restriction of an onain, according to this approach, is only by day and not by night, then ibaya lehu l'shuyo michlo l'urta. They should have left it over, left that korban chatos till the night and eaten it at night. So the Gemara answers, tuma ba'oines basa. It in fact did become defiled, but not as a result of negligence, but some type of oines happened, something beyond their control caused the korban, the sacrifice, to become defiled, and as a result of that, it was burnt. So, just to review the main point of this sugya, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, the korban was burnt because there was no one to eat it. We were dealing with oinonim. Because of aninus, it was burnt. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, aninus was not the reason for the burning of the sacrifice, but rather because of it having become defiled. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a structural note that accompanies this continuation. We have a house form with a squiggle underline and with the narrow point facing up, with the narrow part, the point of the house facing up, that's Bishamol Rabbonon. That will be a statement where things work out well according to the Rabbonon. With the narrow point, with the point facing down, that's Bishamol Rabbi Nechemiah, where the Gemara will take an approach claiming that certain things work out well according to Rabbi Nechemiah's approach. The Gemara, fourth line from the top, Bishamol Rabbonon, Hainu Dichtiv Hayoim. Let's glance at Rashi, second line from the top. Bishamol Rabbanon. Things work out well according to Rabbanon. The Amri Echod Kotshe Shav Echod Kotshe Doros. Lai Lohuter Lohen Velo Yoim. The Rabbanon make no distinction between Kotshe Shav, the one time in history sacrifices, and the generational sacrifices. They say that the nighttime is in fact the time period allowed, but not the day. V'ad ha'layla hoyu roitzin l'shoisa, and until the night, they actually wanted to leave the korbanos over till the night in order to eat them at night. Hainu d'chtiv, with that we understand, the pasuk says, v'achalti chatos hayom, should I have eaten it today? Ani onein, v'ochel hayom chatos shema lo shamata el balayla. The emphasis here is on the word daytime. So, with the emphasis, with the pasuk emphasizing the word day, that idea of day being a problem time, but night not being a problem, that works out well according to the approach of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbonon in this case. Ela lo Rabbi Nechemiah, my hayoim. But according to Rabbi Nechemiah, who said as follows, that which was allowed to them, that would have been allowed even during the day, namely the one time in history sacrifices, even the day itself, the day of Aninus itself, would have posed no restriction. And that which is prohibited even at night. What is the purpose of the pasuk emphasizing the word daytime? When day, by emphasizing the word daytime up till now, we believe there's a contrast between day versus night. But according to Nechemiah, if it's Kotshe Shah, there's no distinction between day and night. Even during the day, it's Mutter. If it's Kotshe Doros, so then even the nighttime is restricted. Why the emphasis, therefore, on the word day? The Gemara answers, Choyvas Hayoin. The word day is not a reference to a time on the clock, daylight, daytime hours, but rather Chovas Hayom, meaning something that's obligatory because of the particular day. If you notice the Rashi, Dibur Masel, Mai Hayoim Chovas Hayom, Rashi says, Kloimar, Kotshe Doros, Shein Chovas Hayom Shorosh Chodesh. Chovas Hayom is a reference to the generational sacrifice, the Rosh Chodesh sacrifice, which is brought as a result of the nature of the day being Rosh Chodesh. So to that, Aaron said, Atomer li lechol oinein, are you saying that I as an onein should eat that? Behinu chatas hayom, chatas hakavua layom, the sin offering that is fixed for that day. So as far as Rabbi Nechemia, the word hayom makes sense as well. And what Aaron was saying to Moshe was, do you think that the korban that's brought as choyvas hayom, as an obligation of that day, of Rosh Chodesh, do you think as an onein I should eat that? Absolutely not. Continuing in the Gemara, Bishlomo l'Rebbe Nechemia, now the Gemara takes an approach that according to Rebbe Nechemia, things are smoother, haynu dechtiv, hein hayom. To appreciate this, let's look at Rashi. Bishlomo l'Rebbe Nechemia, haynu dechtiv, hein hayom. Hikrivu, klomar. Korban zeh, l'choivas hayom korev. V'kotshe doros hu. This korban, which is brought as an obligation for that particular day, the day of Rosh Chodesh, is a generational sacrifice. Vani ochlan onen b'tmiyo, and are you expecting me to eat as an onen? Shema lo shamata elo b'shel shah. Maybe you heard the idea of an onen eating only with regard to the one time in history, korbanos. So, as far as this pasuk is concerned, hein hayom, with Rabbi Nechemia's interpretation, we understand the role of this pasuk as, what does hein hayom mean? Chovas hayom. Elo rabbonon, my hein hayom. What do the rabbonon do with this pasuk? Let's take a look at the Rashi. Elo rabbonon di amri, shem olo shamata elo balaylo ka'omar lei. Maybe you heard that an onein is allowed to eat. That's true by night. My hein de ka'omar lei. Hein hayom hikrivu. What's the role of the word hein according to the Rabbanan? So the Gemara answers as follows. Hochi ka'omar. Hein hikrivo ani hikrafti. What Aaron is saying to Moshe is, do you think that they, the Kohen Hedyotos, namely Elozer Nitomer, offered it? No, I offered it. We could take a look at Rashi. Achik Omar, Amris li Dilma banunu sakrifte, v'chi hein bonai shem edyotos, hayom hikrivu shum korban. Do you think that, you know, in your question of maybe it was offered in aninus, you're implying that they, Kohen Hedyotos, offered it and thereby wounded, and that would be responsible for its being burnt? That didn't happen. Aninu krafti es hakol. As we look ahead in the Gemara, we notice diamonds. These diamonds are featured on the outside margin, tzitutim. These are quotes, meha brais of Omid Aleph, from the source on Omid Aleph. Vehem hagimol tainis sheotanu rabbonan Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon neged Rabbi Nechemia. These are the three arguments that the rabbonan Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon used against Rabbi Nechemia. We will also employ a dashed underline featuring the expression Shapir Koamile, which is an expression indicating that they, the Rabbanan, seem to say very well. Their argument seems to be strong. And we'll await to see how Rabbi Nechemia would fend off these different arguments. Omar Mar, Hoyu Lishloshton Shiyisrafu. if, as you, Rabbi Nechemya, said, that the burning took place because of aninus, then all three Seirim should have been burnt, not just the Seir Rosh Chodesh. There's a bracketed section that we use for skipping in order to form a bond between that which appears right after, where it says, Shapir ko amri lei. That argument seems to make sense. Namely, that if, as you, Rabbi Nehemiah, said that it was burnt because of aninus, then all three korbanos should have been burnt. Within the brackets, the Gemara will be asking, and of course answering, what are the three that they were referring to? So now, let's go back to the bracketed section. My shloshtan, what are the three that were just referred to? Before going further, we should note also that we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, pointing or indicating to look also on Omed Aleph, to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, for a corresponding arrow. And you'll find such an arrow in the upper part of Omed Aleph, and it's at that point that we see in the Braisa the reference to the Shloshtan Shisrafu. So the Gemara here in the brackets is asking, my Shloshtan, what do you mean by the three? Desanya. The source explains, the Esser Achatus Dorosh Dorash Moshe. Soir ze Soir Nachshon. The word Soir is a reference to the special offering that the head of the tribe of Judah brought. The Nachshon was his name, Nachshon ben Aminodov. He brought on Aleph Nisan a Soir offering, a goat offering. Chatos zu Chatos Shmini. The Pasuk makes a reference to the word chatos. That's a reference to the chatos brought on the eighth day of the Mishkan consecration. The first of Nisan represented the eighth day during which the Mishkan had been erected and taken apart. So after 7 days of Moshe Rabbeinu setting up the Mishkan and taking it down, on the eighth day it was set up and left there. And that was that's what the word Shmini, the eighth day, is referring to. And a special chatos was brought on that day. Dorosh ze soyer shel Rosh Chodesh. That is a reference to the special sin offering that characterizes the beginning of a month. Every Rosh Chodesh, this offering is brought. Yochol shloshta nisrfu. Are you to think that all three were burnt? Tamar lomar vihinei soraf. And behold, it was burnt. Echo nisraf alo shloshta nisrfu. Only one was burnt, not three. Doroish dorash tej rishus loma. The double expression, what is it teaching me? Omar lehu. Moshe asked, v'neimachatazu nisrfu. V'elu munachos. Why was this sacrifice, this one, burnt, and the others left around? V'eini yodea ezu. And the Brisa here asks, so I don't know which of the three was burnt. When the Pasuk says that it was given, the sacrifice was given to you to bear, to atone for the sins of the community, that is exactly what the purpose of the Seir Rosh Chodesh is. It's there to serve as an atonement. That, by the way, is in contrast with the other two chatos, which were not, even though they're referred to as a korban chatos, as a sin offering, they weren't really brought to atone for specific sins. The only korban which has the explicit atonement capacity was the Seir Rosh Chodesh. So from the fact that the Pasuk says, the one that was burnt, was therefore atoning for sins, I can identify that as the Seir Rosh Chodesh. Shapir ko amri lei. It's important to note that this expression, Shapir Karmilei, Rashi, in his structural commentary, points out that this is going back on that which we saw before the brackets, where they had argued to Rabbi Nechemiah that all three, if it was because of aninus that there was a burning, then all three should have been burnt. And to that, the Gemara says, well, Shapir Kohar Milei, that seems to be a sound argument. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Nechemiah Letame. Rabbi Nechemiah will respond according to his opinion The Amri Kotshe Shah Lo Posla Bahu Aninus. The other sacrifices, if you'll ask why were they not burnt, if you'll ask me, Rabbi Nechemi, who holds that the burning was because of Aninus, that is true only with regard to Kotshe Doros. But Kotshe Shah, things that were one time in history sacrifices, like the other two Chatois, the other two Seirim, those were never affected by Aninus in the first place. Hence, your question of all three should have been burnt doesn't get off the ground. Omar Mar, another argument, and in order to find where this quote is coming from, we've provided a little squiggled arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you will make reference to Omar Aleph, skimming down the left-hand side of the text, and you'll find a squiggle line, a squiggle arrow indicating Omid Beis in the upper part of Omid Aleph. There it said, Omar Omar, this is a quote from over there, Hoyo Loi Lo'ochlo La'erev. If Aninus was in fact a consideration, so should it not have been eaten at night? Why was there burning? So Shapir Ku Armilei, they, Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon, seem to be saying a sound argument to Rabbi Nechemiah. Why, if Aninus was the whole consideration, why was it not left over to be eaten in the evening? Kosova, well, Rabbi Nechemiah holds Aninus Laila D'Oraisa, the night following the day of death, is also restricted on a Torah level. Therefore, the idea of leaving it over to the night would have been no solution. Therefore, Rabbi Nechemiah says, because of Aninus, it was burnt. There was no other time in which to have eaten that korban. Dovar Achir, a third argument that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon used against Rabbi Nechemiah was, if the whole consideration of the burning according to you was Aninus, it shouldn't have been burnt, although Pinchas hoyeh mohen. There was Pinchas. Shapir ko'ar milei. That seems to be a sound argument. Why was it burnt? Pinchas could have eaten it. Savar lo, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Nechemiah holds like Rabbi Lozer, who says, De'om Rabbi Lozer, Om Rabbi Chanina, lo niskayin Pinchas, at shehargu lezimri. Pinchas did not gain kahuna status until a later event, until Pinchas, killed Zimri in the story of immorality that's featured in the Torah in Sefer Bamidbar. This was an event that took place in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, but was after this event, was after Aleph Nisan of Hakomas HaMishkan. So at this point in time, at this early point in time, Pinchas did not yet have Kohen status. You'll notice, of course, a double underline in the Gemara. This is a marking that's featured on the side under our Nosei Mivne heading. Shnei Deos al Mosai Niskayin Pinchas. We'll see two opinions as to when Pinchas became a Kohen. It might sound a little odd that, well, wasn't he the son of Elozer who, in fact, was a Kohen? This idea of a Kohen enjoying kahuna status as a result of one's father, this, in fact, is true, but it kicked in, so to speak, only at a certain point in history, which was after the birth of Pinchas. In other words, when Pinchas was born, the halacha of Kohen gaining kahuna status as a result of being born from a Kohen father had not yet been binding. So in order for Pinchas to gain Kohen status, that had to wait till a certain particular point in time. So according to Rabbi Chanina, that took place at the point that Pinchas killed Zimri. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Voisa loy uzaro achrov bris kunas oilom tachas asher kine lelokov. The pasuk in Bamidbar Chofhei, pasuk Yud Gimel, is right after the point at which Pinchas killed Zimri. Prior to that, though, Pinchas was did not have Kohen status, hence he could not have partaken of the sacrifices, specifically the chatos that had been burnt. He was not an option. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi is another opinion as to when Pinchas became a Kohen. He said, Ad Shesom Shalom Bein Hashvotim. This is an event that took place in the time of Yehoshua, where Pinchas offered to create a sense of peace between the various tribes. As is featured in Sefer Yeshua, Shenema Vayishma Pinchas HaKoyin Usiei Oedo V'Roshei Alfei Yisrael V'Chulei. And in that pasuk, Pinchas is referred to as Pinchas HaKoyin, indicating that at that point he became a Kohen. The Gemara at this point goes back and forth between these two opinions. What does each one do with the other one's pasuk? The Idach Rav Ashi, who cited this pasuk from Yeshua, v'hoksiv v'oseloy lezaro achrov, is it not so that he became a Kohen already earlier in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, as was featured in Sefer Bamidbar? So Rabbi Ashraf Ashi answers, ki ksivahu, that pasuk is bibrocha hu dichtiv. That's a blessing bestowed upon him, but didn't take hold. It's a pasuk that says that eventually the kahuna will come forth from him. But that's only eventually. But at this point, he had not yet become a kohen. That would happen only later, says Rav Ashi. The Idach Rabbi Chanina of Nami Hoksi Vayishma Pinchas HaKohen. Rabbi Chanina is asked, what does he do with the pasuk that indicates that he seemingly became a kohen only later on in the time of Yeshua? The more answers, Ahu liyaches zaroi acharov. The Rashi explains, according to Rabbi Chanina, he became a kohen from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And when he made peace in the time of Yeshua, he became, specified as the one from whom Kohanim Gedolim would come forth. If we look in the Rashi, you could see in the wide lines under the Gemara, Liyachi Zaro Achrov, Mimei Moshe Niskayin. From the time of Moshe, he in fact did become a Kohen. Ukshesom Shalom, and when he made peace amongst the tribes in the time of Yeshua, Nisyaches Likore Kohen, he gained rank or status to be called the Kohen, Uliache Zaro B'malas Kuno Liyosom Kohen Gdolim, and to have the merit of having his descendants become the Kohanim Gdolim, the high priests, Shlohoya Kohanim Gdolim Elomi Pinchas, that in future generations Kohanim Gdolim would come only from Pinchas. As you can see in our markings, we have a slash in the Gemara, indicating that which follows is a new idea. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Divrei Rav, the teaching of Rav, that Moshe HaYakoyen Gadol, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Koyen Gadol. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice triangles, they represent Kushios al Rav, questions on his theory. Omar Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol v'chilek b'kodesh shemayim hoya. Rav claims that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol and was entitled to eat of the sacrifices that a non-Kohen would not be allowed to partake of. Shenemar me'el hamiluim l'Moshe hoya l'mona. It says that he received a portion of the el hamiluim, that being a sacrifice that only a Kohen would be entitled to partake of. The Gemara asks, Meisvei, Valo Pinchas Hoya Mohen. We saw this in our previous sugya, where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon asked if Rabbi Nechem is correct that the burning of the sacrifice was because they were Einanim upon the death of Nodav and Avihu. So they had asked, well, wasn't there Pinchas, who was not an Onan? Well, if Rav's claim is correct, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol, then Lemo, it could have been said, Valo Moshe Rabbeinu Hoya Imohem. He would have been an option as well. The Gemara responds that, in fact, Rav's point is accepted that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen. Well, if you ask, well, why wasn't he also an option? as a non-onen, being that he was an uncle of the deceased, why was he not featured? Dilma Shaini Moshe. Moshe was different. The Torah Bishchina, he was totally or constantly preoccupied with his communication with the Almighty. And as a result of that, he wasn't available for the eating of the sacrifices. The Omar Mar, Moshe Bashkoma Olo, Vashkoma Yorad, Moshe Rabbeinu was summoned to communicate with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the morning, and he would spend at times all day going up, in this case to the Har Sinai, and coming down in the morning. The point of this is to illustrate that he was always preoccupied with communications with the Almighty, and hence was not available for the eating of sacrifices, even though he was, in fact, a Kohen Gadol, no less. Meisvei, we have now another objection to Rav's teaching. This is a long question. You can see by the vertical dashed line that accompanies this section to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Meisvei, this pasuk is talking about a baal mum, and it's saying that a baal mum is mutter, a blemished kohen is mutter in the partaking of sacrifices. Lechem elokov mikotche akodashim and akodashim yochel. Im nemru kotche kotchim, if the pasuk has already said that a baal mum is able to participate in high level sanctity sacrifices, lama nemru kotchim kalim, why does the pasuk talk about the lower level sanctity sacrifices? V'nemru kochim kalim, lomo nemru koche kochim. If after telling us that he participates in koche kalim, why the need to tell us about koche kochim? Answer: ilu lo nemar kochim kalim, had the Torah not informed us of the kohen of the baal mum's entitlement to kochim kalim, I might have thought koche kochim hu di ochel, that koche kochim is that which he is entitled to eat, shrei hutru lazar velohen. It is something that is allowed to a zar and also to them. Kochim kalin lo yochal, but lower level sanctity korbanos, he is not entitled to partake of. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's take a look at the Rashi. Shari hutru lezar v'lohen kol salkadaitoch. It's thought at this point, and the Gemara will point this out at the end of this particular source, that hutru lezar, that idea that there's a special allowance for the kochi kochim to a zar, to a non-kohen, that's b'moyshe komar. Shocha choza v'shok shalel miluim v'kochi kochim hoya, that Moshe Rabbeinu ate from the choza v'shok sections of that animal, of that ram of the miluim, of the consecration days. And that was a high-level sanctity korban. K'dechtiv bei bishul zavosu b'pesach omoyid, v'sham tochlo oso, v'lonecha l'liyoyim v'layla d'chtiv, v'anosar v'chulei. The Rashi is explaining that that was clearly a koche kochim. However, b'kochim kalem, Rashi goes on, b'chozev v'shok shol shalme yochid, lo yachlokim echov, shalom motzinu zar u'posul choylek bohen. There's a little bit of an irony over here, but the idea that this Bryce is telling us that in the case of high-level sanctity korbanos, we see a certain leniency in the sense that a zar is able to partake of them. So just like a zar, a non-kohen, and we're assuming that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to partake of kochei kochim, therefore the blemished kohen can partake of them. But kochim kalim, we don't find any precedent for any leniency in allowing someone who is unfit, for allowing a posel to partake of the chozev eshok. The chozev eshok, which you point out, is the portion given from kochim kalim to a kohen. So we don't find by the section of kochim kalim that's given to a kohen that there's any allowance for a non-kohen or a posel to eat from them. Therefore, if the Torah had taught me an allowance for blemished kohanim and kochim, I would not have known an allowance for kochim kalim. The Brisa goes on, the ilu lo nemar kochim, had the Torah not given an allowance for a Baal Mum to partake of Kotshe Kotshe, I would have thought that that the only allowance would be for Kotshe Kalim, because they are in fact light level sanctity. And therefore we can make allowances for a blemish Kohen as well. But Kotshe Kotshe lo yehe ochel. But had the Torah not told us about Kotshe Kotshe, I wouldn't have known that on my own. Therefore, the Torah has to specify both kinds of sacrifices that a Baal Mum is entitled to partake of them. All of this is essentially detail. What do we need to extract from this source? Katani Mia, we see here, however, Sharei Hutru Lezar V'lahen. We find precedents for kochim kochim being allowed to be consumed by a czar. Who is the czar? Lav Moshe? Is it not Moshe? So we see from here a kasha on Rav, who called him a kohen gadol. Here we have a Tanaic source calling him a czar. Omer Rav Sheshes loy. Rav Sheshes says no. That the reference to the koche kochim and the eating of them on the part by a czar is not Moshe Rabbeinu, rather beboma. It's a reference to a private altar at the time in history where private altars were allowed. Uchadivrei Omer yesh mincha beboma, and according to the opinion it says, a mincha was offered at a private altar. A mincha being an example of koche kochim, so. We also know that in the case of Bomas, the halachas restricting sacrifices to Kehanim was in fact non-binding. We say Ein Kihun, the dinim of Kahuna don't apply to Bomas. And if you hold that a mincha, a meal offering, was offered at a Boma, we have an example of a Kotche Kotchim being eaten by non-Kohanim. And that would be the explanation for the source that we find a special precedent for koche kochim being eaten by a czar. The Gemara will continue with questions on Rav. You can see the triangles continue from here onto the next Amid. But with this in mind, we will conclude our shiur here for today.